The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, after losing her sister at an early age and recently losing her father, Ann Voskamp clung to Jesus by adding up her gifts and gratitudes.
And to say, oh, do I really believe that God is good now when this feels like lightning has struck your family twice in such a really traumatic way? But realizing that grief actually is a fuel for so much gratitude. Grief really is a sign that you're missing someone that you love.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robison. Tammy's with me.
Hello.
And we're excited because Ann Voskamp is back with us. And we're talking a little bit about it. She's got a new journal. It's called Gifts and Gratitudes. It's somewhat based on her A Year of 1,000 Gifts, which I know so many of you love. So you want to pick up this, but I'm thrilled to have Ann back. She's so much fun to talk to.
I love her, and I've gotten to do one women's event, which I can't believe it's only been one, but I just fell crazy, crazy for you, for the way that you teach the word, for your love for Jesus. It was infectious. So I'm going to start up at the top for those that might not know you like I know you. Mm. Can you paint a canvas for us of all the different life-altering events that have shaped you and made you who you are today?
Well, first of all, you feel like a long-lost soul sister to me from the moment. I mean, we just really deeply connected. So, and maybe when you've come through valleys, you connect with other people who have gone through their own valleys of suffering. For me, as I opened up 1,000 Gifts, my first memory is I was 4 years old, standing at the kitchen sink on a chair, washing dishes beside my mama, and out our kitchen window in the farmyard, a service truck came into the yard and didn't see my 18-month-old baby sister toddling after a stray cat. And Amy was struck and killed in front of Mama and I. And when you're 4 years old and you see something so horrific, it is deeply formational. So by the time I was 7, I was diagnosed with ulcers. And by the time I was in my teens, I was cutting, trying to release the pain. By the time I was in university, I was diagnosed with agoraphobia and full-blown panic attacks. So fear really had formed me in so many ways. And then, I mean, I was saved as a teen. But sometimes you understand the love of God only at a cerebral level. And it really hasn't migrated down into the marrow of your bones so that you trust Him, that He is a God of love and He is for you and that He's good and that He's holding you. And then someone dared me to pick up a pen, and she dared me to write down 100 things I loved. And I'm the kind of girl, if you're going to dare me to do 100, I'm going to do 1,000. And I realized as I was writing out the things that I thought I loved, what I was really doing was I was counting all the ways that God loves me.
Did that happen right away?
No, it was in the process of writing it down. I'm like, oh, wait a second. I wrote down the things I've loved, but actually these aren't things that I have conjured up on my own or things that, these are gifts that I'm actually counting. And I am counting all the ways that God loves me. And like Scripture tells us, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love kicks fear to the curb.
That's right.
And as I started to write down the things that I was grateful for, counting all the ways God loves me, these 1,000 gifts, I started to see that I was stepping over fear and starting to relax into the expansiveness of God's love that was all around me everywhere.
So you felt the shift even
as
you were writing.
Not only did I feel the shift dramatically, my husband felt the shift in me because I moved from living very anxiously. Actually, I moved from living, when you're agoraphobia is being afraid of being in public spaces that you can't escape from. And I really didn't leave the house very much at all. And when I started to write down all the things, it was very much like what we see the Israelites do in the Old Testament. When they start to remember all of the ways that God loves them in the past, all the ways God's been Jehovah Jireh and provided for them, that actually grows and builds trust in this God who is going to give provisions and grace and gifts in the future. So actually picking up the pen and starting to write down the things I was grateful for was actually growing my trust in God, that I didn't have to be afraid no matter where. Fear is really this sense that I'm going to end up somewhere beyond the love of God. And when you start to count all the ways that God loves, you realize God's love is infinite. I might not end up where I expect it to be. The story might not look the way I want it to be. But Jehovah Jireh, His presence is going to be with me regardless. His grace is going to carry me through. I can relax into His love. And really, the answer to so much of our anxiousness is the adoration of Christ.
Mm. That is
interesting. Yes. That you say that you were formed in fear out of the grief,
yes,
the trauma.
Yes.
And yet here you are, mm-hmm, you know, writing mm-hmm books and journals on mm-hmm gratitude.
Not my default, Randy.
So that's my question.
Yeah.
Because so many people, you know, they get stuck in that grief, mm-hmm, in the
yes
disappointment,
yes,
a lot of times.
Yes.
And they can't get to the gratitude. They'll give it lip yeah service, but not really live there. What do you say to someone who's still sort of stuck in that mode?
First of all, I'm so grateful that God is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Mm-hmm. And He is Elroy, the God who sees us. He gives us witness and witness in the midst of our grief. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the book of Psalms, David is pouring his heart out to the Lord, and he is honest about his lament. Scripture doesn't go ahead and show us David kind of putting on a mask or a smiley face. He howls to God very vulnerably. And honestly, you're thinking, oh, can you say those things aloud to God? So God wants us to come with our honest lament. When we are a people of gratitude, it's not toxic positivity. We come not with complaints. Complaint says, here, God, I'm so angry and you're not a good God and all this. Lament comes and says, I am in grief, I am in pain, yet you are a good God,
yes,
in spite of this. The valley that I'm in is but the valley of your cupped hands. Mm. That when we give thanks, we're not saying that everything is good in our lives. Mm. We are picking up a megaphone and declaring God's goodness in spite of what's happening in our lives.
That's the difference.
It really
yes
is.
Yes.
So someone in the midst of grief, God carries a bottle to catch every tear.
Mm.
Just as we write down our gifts to God, God also is keeping count and record of all of our tears. So we can be honest to God with all of our laments and all of our griefs. And grief isn't something we get through and then move to gratitude. We don't compartmentalize the two. Actually, I've found in 2021, I lost my father in the same farmyard, the same way as my sister was killed, crushed and killed underneath a vehicle. And to say, oh, do I really believe that God is good now when this feels like lightning has struck your family twice in such a really traumatic way? But realizing that grief actually is a fuel for so much gratitude. Grief really is a sign that you're missing someone that you
yes
love.
That's right.
Grief is actually a sign that I was so grateful mm-hmm for their presence. Mm-hmm. So grief actually fuels the gratitude. So we're not trying to push the grief away, but to sit with the grief and comfort by picking up a pen and say, oh, I'm going to sit with the grief and remember all of the things I was grateful for about this person or about this particular situation. So grief doesn't ask us to, gratitude doesn't ask us to whitewash away the grief, but grief and gratitude get to sit together before the face of God and find healing in His presence.
Was this a conscious recognition? Because the difference between saying, oh, no, everything's good, versus no, everything's not good, but God is good and His presence is there in the tragedy.
Yes.
Because that's a very significant difference.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I think when we walk alongside David in Psalms, and we live in the Psalms, and sometimes Scripture tells us that sometimes we don't even know how to pray, that our spirit just groans.
Yeah. Right.
And when we don't have words and we are howling, and there have been not just days, whole seasons that I felt like just a heart howl to the Lord, to sit with the Psalms and let those Psalms give you words for your prayers. And you're pounding on God's chest. And you see, David gives us words to go ahead. You can be really honest about how long, oh Lord, how long? Have you abandoned me? Have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
David gives us those words. And yet, psalm after psalm after psalm, he concludes, But the steadfast love of the Lord right. endures forever. Right. And he comes back to the position of, I can give thanks to the Lord. God is always good, and I am always loved. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Sometimes we want deliverance out of our circumstances. And what gratitude does, it delivers us into his presence, into his presence with thanksgiving. And the ultimate deliverance comes from being delivered out of the depths of despair into his very presence, and there is the healing. So no, it didn't come. It is a process for all of us. I always think it's like layers of an onion, like, okay, I've got this, and yeah. okay, now we go to another layer. But I think when we live in his word and steep in his word, especially the Psalms, gives us language for grief and gratitude before the heart of God.
Yeah, yeah. There's always that pain he expresses.
Yes.
And then the word but or and yet,
yeah, and
right?
Yet.
And
yet.
And then the promise.
I think
you know?
In the heart of all people who are wholeheartedly living, those two chambers, it's grief and gratitude together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's joy and
yes.
pain together. That is the wholeness of life in a broken world. Mm-hmm. And we trust that because of the cross, Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God that is making all the sad things come untrue. Mm-hmm. He is redeeming all things in his time and in his way. And I can trust him.
I think one of the gifts that you give to me in this conversation is also realizing the gift of journaling.
Yes.
And being able to write down what you're really feeling,
yes.
being honest about it, bringing it before the
yes.
Lord, and then also maybe mirror that with, okay, maybe even here's my suffering, here's what I'm dealing with today, but then find something to be grateful for, even
in the midst of that.
In it, in the moment. So how do we, or is that a good way for us to find God in the moments of our stories?
Yeah, I think it's John Piper. He has this little poem that I think of so many times when I pick up a pen after I've read scripture in the morning. He says, I do not know how the light is shed or understand this lens. I only know that there are eyes in pencils and in pens.
Ooh,
and that when you pick up a pen and you start to write, you start to see things differently, which makes sense. We are made by the word.
Yes.
We're not just made up of atoms. When you're made by the word, you're made for words. We're made to steep in his word. And then when we pick up the pen and start to write down words, our hearts intersects with God's heart. So when you pick up a pen and you open up a gratitude journal, and the reason I really love this particular gratitude journal is that it's formatted such that,
this is really exciting.
It's formatted such that, so like this is the 6th of the month. You would write down the three things that you're grateful for on January the 6th, and then you're going to go through this entire journal and then circle back so that on February the 6th, you're on the same page. So each day when you write down, you're saying, what am I grateful for on this day of the month, on the previous months? It is a built-in way of remembering the goodness of God. When you just pick up a gratitude journal and you're just writing down the things you're grateful for, it's not a built-in format to review and recount and recollect. I love when I write down, oh, these are things I'm grateful for. I'm like, oh, look, where was I in September?
Yes.
Where was I back in August? And say, God is writing a good and faithful story in my life. When I recount all of the ways God has been faithful in the past, I'm growing my trust in who I can count on in the future. So there's something really beautiful and sacred and holy to say, oh, I'm grateful for this today. Actually, it was I was speaking in Branson and realizing, oh, I'm grateful being here at Branson. And I was like, oh my goodness, the Lord has had me in the same place 4 months ago. And you say, oh, look, God is writing a redemptive story, because sometimes in our lives, we're going, I don't see the hand of God.
Yes, that's right.
But that's why we see all the way through scripture, the Israelites, they go ahead and they recount, they remember.
Yes,
because in the midst of remembering the goodness of God on this day of the month and all the previous months, when we are actually being literally remembered, put back together in the midst of our brokenness. Mm. We see, oh, look, God is picking up all of these pieces and writing a redemptive story. So there's something very, very, very powerful to be a people of remembrance. Do we have a rhythm of life and a way of life that allows us to keep remembering the goodness of God, which remembers, puts back our broken hearts?
Yeah, that's important for me. I don't know, Randy, if you feel the same, but I think what I hear you saying and what resonates with me is, if I happen to hit a bump in the road, and today's a hard day, and something has just punched me in the gut, I've lost my breath, and I'm on my knees, and I'm asking God, where are you today? And I can't find you. I can't find you. I don't know where you are. I can't hear you. And I think people get into those places. So I think what this would mean to my spirit is that I could say even, like, if I don't feel God right now, I'm numb. I'm numb. Let me go back. Let me go back.
To this day.
Yes.
I have a pen.
And see and read.
Oh, on the goodness. The sixth day of December, the sixth day of November, the sixth day of October.
That's right.
Look at how God came through.
God has come through.
And
God is good.
Yes.
So He will come through today. But just stay and remain faithful and trust God with the pieces of your heart, because He holds them so close. And He's always been good, even if life has not been good.
And what I love too is when you go, it has on each day, it has all of these scripture verses. When you can't remember anything to thank God for, can I just copy out the verse? Can I copy out the promises of God? His promises are yes and amen. Or at the back, we have a little pocket that you can go ahead and stick your pictures in.
I did not see that.
So I carry the pictures around of things that I'm grateful for. So when I can't remember, I have all of these pictures or stick-it tubs or something. I go, look, God has been so good and so faithful.
Goodness.
He will continue to write a good story for my healing and His ultimate glory.
You look like, it seems like you found the way to live life fully. Do you feel like you're there?
Oh, I think we're all on a journey all of the time. But I think the people of God are Jewish. That comes from Judah. Judah is related to the Hebrew word for thanksgiving, Toda. Toda and Judah come from the same root. The people of God, the Jewish people, are meant to be a people of thanksgiving. Mm. When we know we are on the way, do we have a practice and a way of life that keeps us giving thanks? Because we ultimately don't give thanks for the things we've been given. Mm-hmm. We give thanks because we get to be in the presence of God. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving. And the message says, enter with the password, thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So when we go ahead, a lot of things can be messy in our lives, but there is always, always, always something to be grateful for, ultimately, the cross. If we can't think of anything in our life circumstantially, turn our eyes back to Jesus and write down all of the riches we have in Christ. And when we live in a posture of thanksgiving, we get more of Jesus Himself.
What's interesting is the Israelites were commanded to build those Ebenezer stones. Right? That was a visual, physical reminder, because we do forget. And God was like saying,
people are constantly forgetting.
Take the time. Build something so you'll remember. There's nothing sacred about the stones. It's about the remembering who's behind them. And to me, it says that gratefulness doesn't necessarily just arrive. It has to be cultivated.
Yes, with an intentionality, with a rhythm. Because what we ultimately need is a gratitude muscle so that when the crisis hit, we know, I know what I do through a stressful situation. I pick up a pen and I start seeing, looking, turning my eyes. It's eye practice again, training what I'm going to look for, looking for the gifts and the graces of God so that I know what to do in the midst of the crisis. I will continue to give thanks to the Lord and look for His goodness. Because ultimately, when we lead with gratitude, we have this attitude that everything comes after the goodness of God first.
Yeah, so good, so good. Now, you may not be there right now.
I get it.
If you want to pick up the phone and call somebody who will pray with you and encourage you, do that right now. We have a telephone number. We have Christians, people that love God, that will pray with you, that will help you turn your eyes, help you start to cultivate gratitude. And look, it is a journey. You're not just going to you don't just go, okay, I'm there. And you know what? We're here for each other. That's why we have this. And we can also pick up the book, Gifts and Gratitudes. And Tammy, we can get that in people's hands today.
Oh, I would love to be able to do that. And I think, Randy, just as growing our faith, I think it's the practice of even journaling. Mm-hmm. My father's been a journaler since I was a little kid. Thousands and thousands and thousands of books. He will tell you how many squirrels he hunted today, how many fish he caught. Very specific.
Yes.
But I love that. And it's been a great example to me. There's so much life that comes from writing down what's going on in your life, and you will find the absolute lover of your soul. I think you'll be able to work through that. And we would all love to get you this book. So if you're able to come alongside us and help us with this fantastic mission that we're doing, we're gonna get it out to you right away. But first, take a minute and watch this. We'll come out on the other side and I'll tell you how you can pick up this book.
When I experienced what we have seen this week, my heart was broken. The major cause of death and sicknesses have been the issue of water.
Pawa, do you know personally of someone who has lost their life to this water? I'm so sorry for the loss of your children, because I know that in most cases it's like we're all losing our children here, that the village children are all of our children. So you've been watching us as we're sitting here next to this water source that you can obviously see is just absolutely tainted and deadly. It is a tragic problem, but we know the solution. With your help, we can make a difference. With your help with Water for Life, we can assure this village will not have to worry about waterborne illness. They can have fresh, clean water, the Water for Life.
Just as John said, I feel the same. Every time I go into a village that is suffering, that is struggling, where there has been death because of their water source, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I realize before I leave that I have to be more than sorry. I have to do something, especially if it's been presented to me and now I know the problem. And as a child of God, I feel like He shows me, He gives me pictures, He gives me glimpses of needs all around me. And this is one today. That's the first time I've seen that along with you. So I've seen it, and I have to be more than sorry. I have to do something. And here's the beauty of the hope that I feel. I've also been there when we have been able to do something. And just as you saw with me right there, we can do something today, right now, for more than one village. We can do many villages. You know, there are more than 800 million people without access to clean drinking water. That seems like a humanitarian crisis.
It is, and you know, doesn't matter where we've gone over decades now, we've been out there in different countries and we hear these stories, same thing over and over, and the solution is so simple. And you know, so many of you have joined us over the years in providing that well where we go in, we drill deep down to the clean water, the water that will give them life instead of taking their lives.
Yes.
And we put in a well that's going to last for typically a lifetime, about 7 years on average. And we've seen it. We've been there with the children when they danced, mm-hmm. when they celebrate, and what a beautiful celebration it is. You make that possible.
Yes, you do.
But as you've just seen, and as Tammy has seen, as mm-hmm. all of us have seen, mm-hmm. there is still a crisis.
Yes, there is.
There is still a need.
Yes, there is.
But guess what? You are still the answer.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Let me break it down for you. A gift of $48 right now will basically provide 10 people with clean drinking water for a lifetime. That's based on the average cost of a complete well being about $4,800. When we look around the various nations, the 350 wells that are the goal for this year, by the way, I'd love to exceed that, mm-hmm. but we're looking at 350 wells, average $4,800 cost. Some of you can drill a whole well, by the way. If you can do that, I would highly encourage that. You'll change a whole village mm-hmm. for a lifetime. You won't be hearing the stories like you heard today out of those places. But maybe a gift of $144, you'll provide water for 30 people. Whatever you can do, join us in giving life to others through Water for Life. Your gift today, right now, will make a difference. It will go a long way to saving lives. So please pick up the phone, go online, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are able to go online or go to the phone, make the best gift you can. You can make such a difference, and let me tell you, those people that receive the blessings, the gifts that you give, they are grateful.
Yes, they are.
We can cultivate gratitude in so many people, and you can cultivate it in your heart today when you request Ann Voskamp's book with your gift. What a blessing.
Yo, I love it. Gifts and gratitudes, a year of 1,000 gifts. I can't imagine getting 1,000 gifts. That seems fun. You seem fun. I love you, sister. Thank you so much for being here.
Will you come back? Count me as a gift. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes.
Count me as a gift on your list?
Yes, okay. 1,000 times over.
Okay, sounds good. Come back. We'll do another show with you, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
I went from believing my entire life I wasn't smart, I couldn't be a doctor, I wasn't capable, and then her one person telling me that.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.